Holy God, holy and most gracious Father,
have mercy on the earth.
For he remembered his holy promise, and Abraham his servant. O give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the peoples.
Sing praises to him, tell of all his wondrous works.
Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice.
Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his presence continually.
Remember the wondrous works that he has done, his miracles, and the judgments he uttered.
O offspring of Abraham, his servant, children of Jacob, his chosen ones, glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end.
Amen. For he remembered his holy promise, and Abraham, his servant.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
A reading from the second book of Moses called Exodus, the first chapter. And these are the names of the sons of Israel who came to Egypt with Jacob, each with his household: Reuben, Simeon, Levi, and Judah, Issachar, Zebulun, and Benjamin, Dan and Naphtali, Gad and Asher. And all the descendants of Jacob were 70 persons. Joseph was already in Egypt. Then Joseph died, and all his brothers and all that generation. But the people of Israel were fruitful and increased greatly. They multiplied and grew exceedingly strong, so that the land was filled with them. Now there arose a new king over Egypt who did not know Joseph, and he said to his people, "Behold, the people of Israel are too many and too mighty for us. Come, let's deal shrewdly with them, lest they multiply. And if war breaks out, they join our enemies and fight against us and escape from the land." Therefore they set taskmasters over them to afflict them with heavy burdens. They built for Pharaoh store cities, Pithom and Ramses. But the more they were oppressed, the more they multiplied, and the more they spread abroad. And the Egyptians were in dread of the people of Israel. So they ruthlessly made the people of Israel work as slaves and made their lives bitter with hard service in mortar and brick and in all kinds of work in the field. In all their work, they ruthlessly made them work as slaves. Then the king of Egypt said to the Hebrew midwives, one of whom was named Shiphrah and the other Puah, When you serve as midwife to the Hebrew women and see them on the birth stool, if it is a son, you shall kill him, but if it is a daughter, she shall live. But the midwives feared God and did not do as the king of Egypt commanded them, but let the male children live. So the king of Egypt called the midwives and said to them, "Why have you done this and let the male children live?" The midwives said to Pharaoh, "Because the Hebrew women are not like the Egyptian women, for they are vigorous and give birth before the midwife comes to them." So God dealt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied and grew very strong. And because the midwives feared God, he gave them families. Then Pharaoh commanded all his people, "Every son that is born to the Hebrews you shall cast into the Nile, but you shall let every daughter live." O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. I'd like to begin with a little introduction to our series here this Advent. We'll be looking at the first three chapters of Exodus, chapter 1 this week, chapter 2 next week, chapter 3 the week after. You could say today is Israel in Egypt, next week will be a deliverer raised up, and then God calls the deliverer. The book of Exodus begins with God's people enslaved and oppressed in Egypt. Will God remember his people? Who will deliver them from Pharaoh? In these first three chapters, we'll meet the faithful midwives, a pious Levite and her daughter, and finally, reluctant Moses. And all of this serves as a prelude to the Exodus. You know that event which is God's major act of deliverance in the Old Testament. What can we learn from these times, these events, and these people? How do they point us to our Lord Jesus Christ, the great deliverer? Well, we'll start this story, which is also our story as God's people, here in Advent, and then we'll continue in the new year. Israel is in Egypt. How did they get there? Those first seven verses give us a list of names. It starts back in Genesis, and I'll just refresh your memory for a moment. Jacob had 12 sons. One of them, Joseph, gets sold into slavery by his brothers. As a slave in Egypt, however, the Lord is with him. He rises in power. He eventually becomes second in command. Under his leadership, Egypt has plenty of food when a famine hits, and that's how his brothers, his father, and their families come to Egypt as well. They reconcile with Joseph and settle there, and that's how Israel, the people descended from Jacob and his 12 sons, comes to be in Egypt. Now, in the background, there's also this. The children of Israel are descendants of Abraham. God promised Abraham three things. He promised that Abraham would be great. He promised that he would bless all the families of the earth through Abraham. And he promised that Abraham's children would dwell in the land of Canaan. But now they're in Egypt. What about those promises? Will God really keep them? Will he honor his promises to Abraham? Time passes. Joseph dies. The pharaohs who knew Joseph die. The people of Israel increase and multiply, and the new regime sees them as a threat. That's where the action begins. Egypt is no paradise. Pharaoh has a plan to keep Israel in check. He starts by making them slaves. Affliction and oppression will do the job, he thinks. It doesn't. They multiply even more. His backup plan is to have the newborn Hebrew boys murdered at their births. You might remember that Herod tries to do basically the same thing when Jesus is born. But that also fails. The kings of the earth set themselves against the Lord and against his anointed, and the Lord laughs at them. They make their plans, they have their ideas, but the Lord has his. Then Pharaoh settles on what you might call the nuclear option, male infanticide. Every son that's born to the Hebrews you shall cast into the Nile, but you shall let every daughter live. And that's where the first chapter ends. It doesn't look so good for Israel. They're serving a cruel ruler who knows no mercy. They're oppressed, they're afflicted, they're persecuted. Truth be told, their life is a living hell. And it doesn't look good for God's promises either. As his people suffer, God hides in the background. Everything's going south, and he says nothing. He basically does nothing, and you wonder if he even knows or cares. You wonder. Because we live in Egypt too. You think we've not been enslaved? You think this is only someone else's story? Think again. We were born slaves. Jesus says as much in John's gospel. We were born slaves of a ruler way worse than Pharaoh. Slaves to sin. What or whom are we serving? What has us enmeshed and stuck in its web? Let's not pretend. The world enslaves us with promises it can't keep and with pleasures that will never endure. One author described Egypt as the place of more, mine, and hurry up. More, mine, and hurry up. That's us. We spend our days serving our wild emotions and our unruly thoughts. We serve our work, we serve our fun, we serve our debt, we serve the consumer culture around us. We serve grief, bitterness, anger, lust, addiction, and despair. We serve food and drink, we serve screens and apps. We can find a way to make just about anything our master. And in the end, we serve sickness and death. Sometimes we wonder, will we ever be free? But even in Egypt, there's a glimmer of hope. Pharaoh's cruelty, as evil as it is, doesn't break or destroy Israel. She simply grows bigger. So it is with the church, with faith. Sin, death, and the devil seek to destroy us with the cross, but God takes the cross and he makes it an instrument of salvation and sanctification. Through suffering, he can strengthen us, and he does. His grace is sufficient. You know those words. His power is made perfect in weakness. It was true then. It's true still today. We see the glimmer at its brightest in Exodus 1 with two women. Do you remember their names? Shiphrah and Puah. They're midwives for the Hebrew women. You know, this seems to be a pattern. Luke will direct us to two women as well, Elizabeth and Mary. And after the darkness of Good Friday, all four of the Gospels tell us that women are the first to go to the tomb. You know, as these women go about their work in fear of God and faith in God, God himself is at work through them. Shipra and Pua. We know their names. Their names are written in the book. And yet we don't even know the name of the Pharaoh who ordered them to abort the baby boys and kill them after birth. God has caused these two women to be remembered and the wicked Pharaoh to be forgotten. These two women feared God more than they feared the powers that be. They believed God's promises more than they feared, or more than they believed the world's threats. They were even willing to put their own lives at risk to serve God. Could two pious women change the world? Well, they didn't know anything about that. They weren't thinking about changing the world. They simply had work to do. You can almost imagine a little child running to their door and knocking on it and saying that another Hebrew woman was in labor. And so they went. They helped these women through labor and delivery. Pharaoh raged, but the babies were born. The people grew and multiplied. God's blessing of Genesis 1 keeps going. And did you hear what God did? The only place in Exodus 1 where it mentions God doing something, it says he blessed the midwives. He blessed and honored them for their faithfulness. He will bless and honor us for faithfulness as well. If not in this life, than in the life of the world to come. So we could learn from them, do what is right, fear God, and leave the rest to him. Who owns Israel? Two women stand up against the cruelty. They choose to serve God rather than to sin. A child will be born. And that's how God begins his great work of salvation. For us as well. A child will be born, has been born. His birth we will celebrate soon. And that's how God begins and carries out his great work of saving you. Through that child, he sets us free from slavery. Slavery to sin. Slavery to death. Slavery to the devil. Through that child, he begins that work of reclaiming us and making us his own. Who owns you? It's not your sin. It's not death. It's not the devil. It's your Lord Jesus Christ. What will happen to God's promises? He keeps them, every last one. You know, Exodus 1 begins with Joseph in Egypt, but Egypt wasn't the last word for Joseph. Egypt wasn't the last word for Israel. And Egypt will never be the last word for us either. We won't be left in slavery. Sin, death, and the devil aren't our true masters. We belong to someone else. In Jesus' name, amen. Please stand. The peace that passes all understanding guards your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.
Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world.
Amen.
We stand for the prayers. Show us your steadfast love, O Lord.
And grant us your salvation.
Let your priests be clothed with righteousness.
And let your saints shout for joy.
Lord, keep this nation under your care.
And guide us in the way of justice and truth.
Let the nations be glad and sing for joy.
For you judge the peoples with equity and guide the nations upon the earth.
Let the peoples praise you, O God.
Let all the peoples praise you.
For the needy shall not always be forgotten.
And the hope of the poor shall not perish forever.
Create in me a clean heart, O God.
And renew your right spirit within me.
Hear my prayer, O Lord.
And let my cry come to you.
Let us pray. Stir up your power, O Lord, and come, that by your protection we may be rescued from the threatening perils of our sins and be saved by your mighty deliverance. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Lord God, Heavenly Father, through the prophet Moses, you began the prophetic pattern of teaching your people the true faith and demonstrating through miracles your presence in creation to heal it of its brokenness. Grant that your church may see in your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, the final end times prophet, whose teaching and miracles continue in your church through the healing medicine of the gospel and the sacraments, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, in whom we live and move and have our being, we humbly pray you so to guide and govern us by your word and spirit, that in all the cares and occupations of our life, we may not forget you, but remember that we are ever walking in your sight. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. Amen.
Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless us, defend us from all evil, and bring us to everlasting life.
Amen.